美国会众议员呼吁美国采取具体行动支持台湾。美国菲律宾启动2021联合军演。美日国防官员会谈，深化两国同盟。
美东时间4月12号星期一，北京时间4月13号星期二，欢迎收看美国观察，我们从美国首都华盛顿为您现场直播。白宫周一主持与19位世界领头企业的总裁共同举行的峰会，讨论全球范围内半导体芯片的供应不足问题。美国总统拜登也参与了讨论。半导体芯片供应不足对汽车制造业和科技产业造成影响。今天与会的企业包括通用汽车、福特、英特尔、惠普、三星、台积电等。美国政府方面，除了拜登总统以外，国安顾问沙利文、国家经济委员会主任迪斯和商务部长雷蒙多也参加了峰会。
Well, one of the reasons the president, is stopping by this meeting that our National Security Advisor and our NEC Director are holding this afternoon is to hear directly from companies about the impacts, what would help them most through this period of time, and the shortage that, as you all have reported on, has impacted a range of industries across the country. So, this isn't a meeting where we expect a decision or an announcement to come out of, but a part of our ongoing engagement and discussion about how to best address this, issue over the long term, but also over the short term.
拜登总统计划投资1000亿美元用于半导体和关键商品的制造。中国近来也有意加大对半导体制造的投资，降低对进口产品的依赖。美国国会参议院将在周三召开听证会，探讨加强美国科研努力应对与中国的竞争。参议院多数党领袖舒默希望通过立法提高美国的半导体生产量。国会休会结束，议员们本周重返华盛顿。美国总统拜登的2万亿美元基础设施一揽子计划成为国会首要议事日程。来看美国之音记者奎因的报道。
拜登总统本周将会晤国会两党议员，讨论他的基础设施计划。这一计划将资助改善道路和桥梁，加快网速、高速列车等。拜登面对他今天早些时候做出的与1.9万亿美元的经济复苏方案相同的选择，与共和党人谈判基础设施方案包括的内容以及如何支付这笔费用，或者干脆在民主党人的支持下推进立法。参议院共和党人和民主党人各占一半，副总统哈里斯的一票可以打破平局。到目前为止，拜登一直说他想寻求两党的支持。
The president is willing to negotiate what this looks like. He knows that his current plan is going to be changed. That's the nature of compromise. So whether it is in one big package or several packages, he wants to talk to Republicans.
共和党领导人表示反对拜登的计划，称这个计划庞大。他们反对拜登提出的支付方式，也就是将公司税率从目前的21%提高到28%，这样会部分逆转4年前时任总统特朗普的减税措施。共和党领导人说，他们希望与拜登的谈判能够比经济救助方案做得更好。
We are willing to negotiate with him, on an infrastructure package, and this, trillion-dollar number is, way too high for me.I'll just tell you, but negotiation has to be something different from what we had on the rescue plan.
美国土木工程师协会在其最新报告中将美国基础设施评级定为 C 减。该组织表示，多年的无所作为已经使美国的道路和桥梁老化，而机场、供水、公交系统则需要升级。美国之音奎因报道。
美国和菲律宾星期一启动了为期2周的2021年度肩并肩联合军事演习。菲律宾副防长表示，通过今年海上演习重振了菲律宾和美国之间的友谊，也建立了安全和国家间合作历史基础上的双边关系。美国海军陆战队的布朗克少校也提到了联合军演的重要性。他说，希望通过共同训练加强美菲的伙伴关系和友谊。美菲两国国防部长上周末曾通电话，讨论中国渔船、南中国海局势以及近期的地区安全事态发展等议题。同时，美国防长奥斯汀在电话中向菲防长提出了几项深化国防合作的措施，包括增强对南中国海威胁事态的感知。 美国印太司令部司令、海军上将菲利普·戴维森星期一与日本防卫大臣岸信夫会谈，双方同意深化两国安全关系，以对抗中国在东中国海和南中国海日益咄咄逼人的姿态。双方确认了维持台湾海峡和平与稳定的重要性，还就美日继续合作以实现自由开放的印太地区构想达成一致。日本共同社报道，会谈在日本防务省举行。戴维森表示，美日同盟是地区安全的基石。岸信夫表示，日美防卫合作实现了快速深化。日方表示，双方同意通过日本自卫队和美国军方的联合演习来增强威慑力和反应能力。美国之音最近采访共和党籍联邦众议员佩里，讨论了有关两岸局势和美中关系等议题。作为众议院外交事务委员会的成员，佩里呼吁拜登政府采取具体行动，向世界展示美国对台湾的支持以及捍卫台湾的决心。接下来请看专访内容的第一部分。
Joining us today is Republican Congressman Scott Perry from Pennsylvania. He's a member of House Committee on Foreign Affairs, Transportation and Infrastructure. Congressman Perry, thank you so much for speaking with Voice of America. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for the Voice of America, letting people around the world know what it's like to be free and probably things that they're not finding out. In their own countries in many cases. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to start off with a bill you recently introduced, Taiwan Plus Act. The legislation supports to include Taiwan in the NATO plus five countries. Can you tell us why you think this is so important and what are other key components in this bill?
Well, some of the key components are some of the timelines and some of the financial restrictions. What I seek to do is to make sureThat the Communist Party of China and Taiwan and the world know that we support Taiwan and we want to give the president the flexibility to support Taiwan militarily by reducing the timeline requirement and by diminishing the reporting requirement or the requesting requirement for additional military resources. So right now there's a threshold.That's fairly low, where the president has to come to Congress if he wants to help Taiwan from military equipment perspective. So if Taiwan wants to buy some United States military equipment and it goes over a certain threshold, he would have to come to Congress. Of course, that means delays, that means conversations, and all the while, the Communist Party of China might be acting onTaiwan. We don't want that to happen. We want the president to have that immediate flexibility to support Taiwan. We want the Communist Party of China to know that. We want Taiwan to know that we support them by this effort. And we want the world to know where we stand vis-a-vis Taiwan and China. And so those are the general provisions of the bill. NATO countries already have this. And of course, many countriesOther countries around the globe. New Zealand has it. Australia has it. Japan has it. We did it in the past for Jordan for very specific reasons. And so it actually sunsets after 3 years. But right now, while China is rattling sabers and flying into the air defense identification zone of Taiwan at an unprecedented level, we need to send a very clear signal to the Communist Party.And to the leadership in Taiwan about where we stand, and this will do that.
Mm-hmm. Recently, we hear a lot of discussions about the possibilities and then scenarios of military conflicts between both sides of Taiwan Strait. And the U.S. Indo-PACOM commander, Admiral Davison, recently also said that Taiwan may face military attack from China within 6 years. Well, there are different numbers about the time frame. My question is, how close do you think this military threat is? And what's Taiwan's strategic significance to the U.S.?
Well, it's, as you already alluded, there are differing opinions about what the Communist Party of China's actions militarily or otherwise towards China would be and when or towards Taiwan would be and when they might occur. But what is not really in dispute is the Communist Party of China's bellicose actions militarily and otherwise towards Taiwan. And what's also not in question is that the Communist Party of China oftentimes will take advantage if they see what they view as a window of opportunity where they will not be forcefully opposed in whatever oppressive actions they take. And, of course, we see that recently in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to be prepared and we want to send signals that we stand with our ally Taiwan and we're prepared to do something about it. It's very important. The relationship is very important to the United States of America and the free world for various reasons. Of course, the free travel and free open shipping lanes through the Taiwan Straits. But not only that, our relationship with not only Taiwan and its allied neighbors with the United States, but allies of the United States around the globe need to know that when the United States says that they're going to be with you, that they're going to be with you, and that they can rely upon that. Mm-hmm. And this is one opportunity where the United States of America can show that in a meaningful way, and we need to be prepared to do that.
Mm-hmm. Pentagon has been calling for Congress to fully fund the Pacific Deterrence Initiative, the PDI, which is included in the NDAA passed last year. How will that help the U.S. to increase the presence and the strength in the region?
Well, again, I think what it does is it focuses our attention, rightfully so, on our strategic and tactical adversary, which is the Communist Party of China, and shows the rest of the world, and also shows not only the diplomatic core, but the defense industry and the business and industry in America and internationally, what our focus will be by assigning resources to that effort. And so not only is it very tangible, but it's also in another way signaling where the United States stands and what we're willing to do about it. It's again, backing up your rhetoric with action. Mm-hmm. And I think the United States absolutely needs to do that. And I hope that there will be bipartisan support. There's a lot of things in Congress that we disagree with. There are things in Congress that we disagree with the administration on. But in this particular issue, it'd be great if we could stand in solidarity and show the rest of the world that we mean business regarding our relationship with Taiwan and against the Communist Party of China.
Mm-hmm. A quick follow-up on Taiwan. A lot of people, well, some people actually are worried about provoking China too much may end up hurting Taiwan as China. One of China's tactics in retaliating against Washington's Taiwan moves is to take it out on the much smaller Taiwan. What's your take on this issue? And you probably mentioned it earlier already, but how committed is U.S. defending Taiwan?
Well, we're going to find out just how committed the United States is by all these actions. We have numerous steps to be taken, whether it's the Taiwan Plus Act or the PDI. We have numerous opportunities to show our solidarity and our resolve with the people of Taiwan, with the free government, the free people of Taiwan. And so we absolutely ought to do that. As far as provoking China, you know, there's always the apologists who say we need to accept strategic patience as a policy, as a strategy and a tactic, but it never works. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't tell me one place where it has worked. All you do by refusing to acknowledge and respond to bellicose nations is encourage bellicose nations. And your absence, your silence is provocative. It provokes them to more action. They see weakness and they see inaction. And so it's always not only the apologists in the West that say that argue for restraint, but it's also the Chinese Communist Party and their propaganda that's out there saying, well, the United States ought to restrain themselves. Of course, the Chinese Communist Party wants us to restrain ourselves so they can continue to do what they're going to do. And oh, by the way, to all those people that would take that policy position, regardless of what the United States does, China's going to blame us for it, whether it's responding in kind, whether it's being proactive, or whether it's remaining patient while China continues to be oppressive towards its neighbors, including Taiwan. And so there's no upside. Mm-hmm. There's never any upside to allowing oppressive regimes, dictatorships, criminal organizations have their way. There's never any upside. You might think you're buying a little bit of time in hoping that the alligator eats you last, you know, if you just continue to feed it. But sooner or later, the alligator is going to eat you. And the sooner you have that realization and do something about it, the better off you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. 周一美股小幅收跌，投资者等待本周稍晚出炉的通胀数据和企业财报。今天股市交易量清淡，道琼斯指数收报33,745.40点，跌幅为0.16%；纳斯达克指数收报13,850.00点，跌幅为0.36%；标普500收报4,127.99点，跌幅为0.02%。周日，美联储主席鲍威尔重申维持宽松货币政策的立场。他表示，只有通胀水平超过20%才会考虑加息。高盛和摩根大通等大型银行将于本周公布财报，拉开财报季的序幕。市场普遍对经济复苏和企业第一季度的表现持乐观预期。美国观察每天美东时间下午、北京时间早上6点到6点半，在 YouTube、推特、脸书平台同步直播。欢迎您在直播间给我们留言和提问。有关今天节目中提到的美国和菲律宾启动2021联合军演，美国印太司令与日本防务相重申同盟合作，您对美国在印太地区的角色有什么看法？期待在节目中分享您的意见。昨天的节目中，我们报道了美国国务卿布林肯谴责中国在新冠疫情初期反应迟缓，重申将彻查疫情起源。 YouTube 网友 J 和留言说，不是中国疫情初期反应迟缓的问题，而是中国疫情初期隐瞒疫情的问题，疫情初期隐瞒真相是应该追究责任的。推特网友秦龙留言说，中共极力想用控制国内疫情的成功来掩盖或抵消他的各种反人类罪行，但是显然各国都不买账，并不是中共那套太优秀各国都学不起，而是太残忍各国都不敢学。举国性残忍是中国的优，是中共的优势，也是该党反人类罪恶本性的证据。感谢您的评论和反馈，期待在今后的节目中和大家进行更多的交流。在美国明尼苏达州，就在明尼阿波利斯市当地法庭审理警方涉嫌暴力执法导致黑人男子弗洛伊德死亡案件的时候，该市西北郊的布鲁克林中心发生了一起黑人男子遭警察枪击身亡的事件。此事在当地社区引起民众抗议，一些商店遭到破坏。来看报道。
Our early reports was that one officer had fired a weapon, striking the driver. The vehicle continued and eventually crashed. Medical resources were then deployed to the scene to aid the people in both the vehicle that was crashed into and the original group. The driver of the vehicle was deceased.
Everybody out here chanting and screaming and yelling. I just want him home. That's it.
There were reports of crowds 100 to 200 that were marching toward the Brooklyn Center Police Department. As we understand it, and from both our own reports and media reports, we saw rocks and other objects thrown at the police department. There were reports of shots fired in the area of the police department.
德克萨斯州解除了为预防新冠病毒设置的强制措施。休斯顿的一家酒吧的顾客已经开始聚集消遣，不戴口罩了。我们来看一看德克萨斯部分地区解除了防疫措施之后的生活状态。
I respect everybody, so I feel like if you want me to wear a mask, 100% wear them in Ubers and whatnot, but I think it is really nice also to hang out with friends and do what we want and just hang out and get back to normal.
众议员马特·盖茨上周五现身前总统特朗普位于迈阿密的高尔夫俱乐部，参加特朗普支持者组织的拯救美国峰会。马特·盖茨此前卷入其政治盟友佛州税务官员杰尔格·林伯格的贪污及性贩运一案，他目前否认所有指控。来看美国之音的报道。
After the Russia hoax, the knockoff Ukraine impeachment sequel,in an election that was stolen as a consequence. I'm built for the battle, and I'm not going anywhere. The smears against me range from distortions of my personal life to wild, and I mean wild, conspiracy theories. I won't be intimidated by a lying media, and I won't be extorted by a former DOJ officials and the crooks he is working with. The truth will prevail.
I think that Mr. Greenberg, if he accepts a plea or a plea agreement, that one, it will show his sense of remorse, which he does have, and his sense of acceptance of responsibility.I'm sure Matt Gaetz is not feeling very comfortable today.
新冠疫情初期，美国之音记者维什涅娃在纽约与医生和护士会面，谈论他们抗击新冠疫情的经历。一年之后，他再次与其中一些人进行了交谈。来看报道。
My name is Dr. Placencia, Amy Placencia. I'm a PGY3, internal medicine resident.
我们于2020年春季首次见到了艾米·普拉森西亚，当时她在纽约的一家医院担任住院医师，后来这所医院被改为新冠专科医院。
How many patients, sadly, if you know? I don't know the exact number, but I can say that there have been hundreds upon hundreds.
那是一个三月的傍晚，大约晚上7点，普拉森西亚医生正在重症监护室治疗一名患者。那天是他第一次听到人们为医护人员鼓掌加油。 此后每晚，人们都会为在医院挽救生命的医护人员鼓掌。那是一种新型音乐，疫情期间的音乐。
One year ago, we had no idea how to treat this virus. We didn't know, what was the best approach, what we could be doing to better help our patients, or if what we were doing was harming our patients. And the volume that we saw, especially here in New York and Brooklyn, was just astronomical.
My name is Calvin Sun. I am an emergency room or emergency physician.
2020年3月8日，孙医生从安哥拉回到美国。随之而来的是无休止的加班就诊。
How many hours of days you spend during March and April?
Yeah, I lost count.
Hi, my name is Dr. Robert Gore, and I'm an emergency physician here at SUNY Downstate Medical Center.
在将近3个月的时间里，戈尔医生都没有回家居住，因为他太害怕把新冠病毒感染给妻子和孩子。
You know, Dr. King said, you know, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times.Of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy, and this is that time of challenge and controversy.
如今，距大流行病在美国爆发已经一年了，医生、卫生专家、政治人士都在评估正确方法以及可以做得更好的方法，以挽救更多的生命。
I mean, there are so many lessons to be learned from this. I think there will be a reckoning.After something like this is all said and done, and everyone's looking back.
迄今为止，在美国已有约55万人死于新冠肺炎。在未来的年代中，纽约人会记住那些无法抵抗病毒而逝去的人们，也会记住成千上万每天冒着生命危险来挽救人们生命的人。美国之音维士涅娃报道。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。
Alliances were created to defend shared values. So renewing our commitment requires reaffirming those values and the foundation of international relations we vowed to protect, a free and open rules-based order. Our military capabilities and readiness to ensure that we maintain a strong and credible military deterrent. We've got to broaden our capacity to address threats in the economic, technological, and informational realms.